Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Romans, chapter 5, and we're going to look at the last three verses of Romans 5, and that would be verses 19 through 21. And the thought for today's message is, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And we know that the source of grace is our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Paul is penning down the scripture, he begins in verse 19. He says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Well, who was this man? We know that this man that was disobedient was Adam. And by his disobedience, and you might say, well, Joel, what did Adam do? We know that Adam and Eve, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The one tree in the garden that God Almighty told them not to eat from. They had an abundance of resources, all kinds of resources for food, many other trees, but that one tree and that rebellious nature of man tends to want to do exactly what we're told not to do. But see, through Adam's disobedience, we were all cursed with that Adam nature, that sin nature in our life. We were all born into sin. No, that does not mean that our parents, that we were born out of wedlock. No, that is not what that means. That we were born, when we were born with a sin nature. We were born with the curse of sin. And that is all traced back to Adam's disobedience in the garden. Now, you might say, well, if I was Adam, I would have done different. No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. We cannot put that burden on Adam. It was just God's plan for a redeemer, for God to be who God is, and for man to be who man is. God is holy and righteous. Man is made in the image of God, but we also have that sin-cursed nature in our heart. For it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." And as the book of James says, if any man says that he has not sin, the same is a liar. Now, that is very hard language, but it's the Bible and it is the truth. And we must, if we're going to have any kind of relationship with God, if we're going to come to salvation through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must acknowledge the fact that we're a sinner and that we have sinned against God. However, Paul changes gears here. In the middle of verse 19, he says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now, this second half of verse 19 takes out any works to be saved out. Any of our fellow religious cults, if you will, that believes that we can work for salvation, this verse takes care of it. It says, "So by the obedience of one." Who is that one? That one is Jesus Christ himself. By his obedience, by his work, and if we would just simply place our faith in the work that he did in our place, that we can be made righteous. So friends, the best you and I can do is as a filthy rags before a holy and a righteous God. For we must be able, for us to be made righteous, for us to be justified before a holy and a righteous God, we must place our faith in the work that Jesus did for you and I. For he came, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. What that means is that you and I, mankind, could not live up to God's standards. We could not live up to the law, for we were failures at it. But Jesus came. He did for us. He satisfied God's law. He satisfied God the Father's law, his requirement. He did for me. He did for you. What we could not do for ourselves. And then that he that knew no sin became sin, and he went to the cross of Calvary as a lamb dumb before the shearer, and he uttered not his mouth. In his eyes and in his opinion, he was guilty. He was guilty before the shearer. He was guilty before his prosecutors, because he was bearing my sin. He was bearing your sin. And he goes to the cross and he utters the word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he shed his blood, and he was the spotless Lamb of God. And by his blood, by his stripes, we are healed. It's no work whatsoever that we've done on our behalf. It's all his work, and we just simply place our faith in the work that he did for us. But by Jesus' obedience, I can be righteous. You can be righteous. Not of our own self, but by his obedience. Now, it says in verse 20, it says, moreover, the law entered. Now, you and I know the law as the foundation of the law as the Ten Commandments. We know that. We know that. And some people are afraid of the Ten Commandments because it exposes their sin. It shows them their failure. And that is exactly the purpose of the Ten Commandments, to show us that we're sinners, to show us that we came up short. But when Moses was ordered to go back up to Mount Sinai the second time, and he came down the second time with the second set of the Ten Commandments that foreshadowed there was one coming, that I could not uphold God's law, you could not uphold God's law, but there was one coming that could, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It exposed our sin. It showed us our sin. It showed us where we come up short to satisfying the righteousness of God. It shows us where we come, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin abounds. Sin has us in prison. Sin has us in chains. Sin has us defeated. There's only one that ever walked this earth that has had victory over sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No other man has ever warred against sin unto death and become victorious over it. I cannot do it. I cannot stand toe-to-toe with sin. I must depend on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must depend on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot do it. But it says that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded. In other words, where sin had us surrounded, where sin had us ambushed, where sin completely had us defeated, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound. The love, the mercy, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows our infirmities. He knows the temptations that we endure. And if we would just simply come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and confess the fact that we've sinned before him, he will shed his grace upon us, and he will give us the light of his grace. He will show us the way. He will give us that way of escape. He will write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names will be permanently there, and no man shall pluck us out of the Father's hand. That is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no work that we can do. Jesus has already done the work. Now, it says in verse 21, it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death. Now notice this. When you see the word reigned, you think of sitting on a throne. It has power over you. It has dominion over you. It has authority over you. Now, the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. In other words, the payment of sin is death. Friends, I'm going to face death. You're going to face death. If we don't face death, that means the rapture is going to come. But one way or another, the Bible teaches us it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. One way, by way of death or by way of the rapture, we're going to stand before a holy and a righteous God. But sin reigned unto death. And it says, even so, my grace reign. It has power. It has authority to break the chains of sin, the shame of sin, the depression of sin, the guilt of sin. It has the power to reign over that through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Not by me, not by you, not by anybody else, but the reason grace can reign through righteousness unto eternal life is because of Jesus Christ. That is the only reason. So friends, if we study in the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon was trying to count his sins, and he was trying to come up with an account. He was trying to find out where he went wrong. He was trying to number them, but they became innumerable. He could not number them all. It was like an ocean, and he just could not number them all. Friends, that's the way my sin is. Friends, that's the way your sin is, because that's the way everyone's sin is. But if we just come to the Lord Jesus Christ by his grace, we can overcome that. Friends, I can't stand before sin. I can't battle against sin on my own. The only thing I can do is be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as the Bible teaches us, he will fight for us. But it's up to us to be obedient to him. And as we look back over the scripture in summary, for by one man's disobedience, who was that man? That man was Adam. That's why I'm cursed with the sin nature. That's why you're cursed with sin nature. That's why all of mankind is cursed with this sin nature. But by Jesus coming in the likeness of sinful man, he lived a perfect, sinless life. In spite of all the temptations that Satan threw at him, all the humiliation that was threw at him, all the misunderstanding that was threw at him, he lived a sinless, perfect life. And even though he did not know sin, he became sin for me. He became sin for you. He bore my sin. He bore your sin on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood so that when the time come and the Holy Spirit convicted our heart, that we would bow on bended knee and by faith receive him as our personal Savior. And then that's where grace can reign unto righteousness, unto eternal life by the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now that's today's message. Just remember, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And that's today's message. I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.